All right, welcome to Coffee with Marcus and Mark. And in this show, we are going to talk to you about what's happening in the markets and how we are trading it. And today is Wednesday, November the 9th, and there's a lot going on. Because yesterday, stocks closed higher for the third straight day ahead of the midterm elections. And meanwhile, also Bitcoin and Ethereum are getting crushed while Disney drops 8% after missing earnings. Facebook lays off 11,000 employees. Elon Musk sells $4 billion worth of Tesla. So what's next? I mean, definitely crazy. And we'll show you how we trade these markets. By the way, if this is your first time here, hi, I'm Marcus Hardcutter. This is my head coach, Mark Hodge, and we are real traders who trade live accounts. So therefore, we got a lot of trading experience. We're showing you how we trade these crazy markets. So trust me, we know our stuff and we're not afraid to tell you like it is. So if you're looking for some honest insights into the fascinating world of trading, you are in the right place. And talking about crazy markets. So after a few days up, today, there's the reaction to the midterm elections, or not?
Or not. No. I mean, Marcus, we did have three up days, which, you know, looking at the S&P, you see that there's been that pretty nice run up since the lows that were established after CPI data was released, and then a little bit of a pullback last week. Friday was a positive, Monday, Tuesday, positive. So, you know, all in all, if you look at the chart, this is not out of the norm. And it's not this crazy move or crazy behavior. We do have the midterms, like you brought up, and there's some indecision there and uncertainty. But all in all, it's a down day after three up days.
Yeah. And I mean, the big thing, there was nothing earth shattering during the midterm elections. I think there's still the counting going on until we have final results. This might be a few more hours, maybe a few more days. Who knows? So this is where traders say, okay, let's shift focus. And what's next that we want to focus on? And that is definitely tomorrow, the CPI data.
Absolutely. CPI data is going to be huge. We know that this is a key metric for the Fed, and they base their interest rate decisions and their policy on CPI data in addition to jobs data. So this is one of the biggies coming out prior to their next meeting in December.
Right. So also, what else going on? I mean, there's quite a few things going on. And I mean, we have to look into the cryptocurrencies because that's kind of crazy. So yesterday, huge, huge drop for Bitcoin, even Ethereum, pretty much all cryptocurrencies. As you can see, this year in Ethereum is a drop of from these highs. What do we have there? 28%, almost 30%. And that has an effect on the markets because companies that do have exposure to cryptocurrencies and cryptocurrency tradings like Robinhood also massively, massively down here. Coinbase, the same thing. So it does have an effect on the markets. Did you see what's happening there?
Yeah, so you had this crypto firm FTX that basically, for lack of better words, disintegrated almost overnight. The billionaire owner became an unbillionaire at the same time. I want to say I saw he lost 94% of his wealth in one day. That was the fastest decline for someone who was a billionaire. And Binance, a company that was a huge competitor, if you could even say an antagonist, actually bailed him out. But because of the concerns, liquidity, basically the equivalent of a bank run on crypto where everybody's scrambling to sell, happened, and it's just been a mess.
Right, and this is where FTX, the company that is now in trouble and gets bailed out by Binance, they used to bail out others like Celsius. Yeah. And you see, this is not really instilling confidence in cryptocurrencies when you see, oh my gosh, very similar like banks, as you said, these exchanges can have liquidity problems. And this is why right now, over the last 2 days, there's a sell-off in these assets like cryptocurrencies because people say, well, I want to make sure that my money is safe. And if I'm not sure that my money is safe, let me just take it back into my Bank of America or JP Morgan or Citibank checking account. And let's keep this in dollars for now until I know whether this can happen to wherever I have my cryptocurrencies, which could be, again, Coinbase, could be Robinhood, could be any of these. And this is why there's huge withdrawals going on right now. And of course, this is somewhat affecting the markets. Not a whole lot, but it's definitely something where if you see a cryptocurrency is going down almost 30%, where traders are paying attention and say, wait a minute, what's happening there? Because it does affect stocks.
Short term, I absolutely agree. And even yesterday, you saw a little bit of a slide, kind of out of the blue, where traders were wondering what the heck happened. And I believe it was because of the Binance bailout and that news hitting. But longer term, I think this is good for the market. I think it's great because you have people that are now fearful of crypto. Is it a buying opportunity? Maybe. But those risky assets, people who are pulling out and saying, I'm done with crypto, now they have some money to put in stocks.
Right? So we'll see. Now, talking about stocks, this also, I mean, earnings season is going on and Disney right now is getting crushed. I mean, Disney yesterday after reporting earnings down 8%, right now down 12%.
Yeah, they said they plan to make cuts to marketing and content budgets. They reported weaker than expected fourth quarter earnings, as you see right there. So investors not too pleased with good old Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, especially since this seems to come from its streaming services, because they reported earnings and theme parks were super solid. They actually exceeded expectations in theme parks. And this river says, wait a minute. So good old Disney is making the switch into a media company, into a streaming company, and that's where they're struggling. Ooh, don't like this. This is why Disney down this morning. I mean, also news from Meta. That's where, let me just see, I have it up here. So Zuckerberg announced that they are laying off 11,000 employees.
Yeah, that's a lot. I thought I saw that was approximately 13% of their workforce.
Yeah, that's what it says here, 13% of its, okay. Its workforce. So yeah. That's quite a lot, but markets are liking it. Employees don't like it, but investors are liking it because that was basically the pressure that they put on Zuckerberg and say, you gotta lay off some people. You gotta get your costs under control. So right now, a big rebound of 7%.
Yeah, and this is where, unfortunately, there's gonna be some scenarios just like this one where what's bad for a company is good for the market or good for the stock, right? And we're going to see that more and more, but that's what we need to help inflation. I mean, this is where the Fed's rooting for more of this. It sounds morbid, but this is exactly what the Fed wants.
Yeah. All right. And then in other news, we also have Tesla. We talked about Tesla yesterday, and today we got confirmation. We said Tesla has been sliding. Let's just go back here to the charts for a moment. So Tesla just has been sliding the whole year down. Let's just see, where are we year to date? I thought I had the information right here. No, but we can quickly measure it. And we see that they're down, 54%? And recently, over the past few days, sliding because, I mean, yeah, there's Elon Musk's focus taken away with Twitter. And then also the news that he sells at least $3.95 billion worth of Tesla shares to finance the Twitter deal.
Yeah, this one's interesting because I don't mean to speak for you, but I believe we both really are fans of the company and Tesla in general. But this has popped up on the wheel scanner, and in the mastermind group, we evaluated it. We looked at it, strikes of around 180, 185. But do we want to own Tesla right now? I think there's just too much uncertainty. And now we know what's kind of contributing to that recent slide. You know, if you're unloading a bunch of shares, there is going to be a little more selling pressure.
Yeah, and this is where we see right now. I mean, strike prices of down to $163.33 are available. And if you look at this, yeah, I mean, sounds like a bargain, but I do believe that Tesla has some more room to the downside before it bounces.
And if Yeah, and if this falls, there's a lot of white space before finding some support.
For sure, because it just had this meteoric rise, parabolic almost, and then a few splits, and now right now it seems to calm down. Because what is right now the PE ratio of Tesla? I mean, it has come down. It's 58. It's still a bit on the high side. If you compare it to other car companies, which you can, right? Because Tesla is a technology company and car companies are car companies. But if you just think about companies like Ford, where the PE ratio is 6, companies like GM, where the PE ratio is 6, companies like Stellantis, I don't know the ticker here, where I don't have a PE ratio here in Google, but yeah, so Tesla is still very high. And again, can't compare to a traditional car company, but as I said, lots of white space to the downside. So yeah, overall, looking at the markets, let's go to a 5-minute chart of the S&P. Diddling along. NASDAQ moving a little bit lower, but also, I mean, not a whole lot of movement here today.
Yeah, it looks like we found some support for the session. And I don't expect a whole lot more out of today with CPI data coming out tomorrow.
Yeah, I actually think that today might actually be a down day because some investors might take some profits since we had this nice up run here over the past few days. And then wait and see what happens tomorrow. Because here's the deal. If tomorrow the CPI data is bad, which basically means that the CPI is higher than expected, inflation is still raging, means that the Fed will more aggressively raise interest rates. And this means that the markets will be tanking. So there's an opportunity probably tomorrow to go shopping. And that's why today there's a little bit of selling coming into the markets.
I'd love to go shopping tomorrow. Hey, random question for you, Marcus. Do we close above or below 3,800 in the S&P today?
Let me see. Below.
Yeah, I was going to say the same.
Oh, okay. No, because I really believe that this afternoon we will see a little bit more selling pressure coming into the markets. I don't see it, but hey, it's so close right now. It could be anything. Tomorrow is the big day. So with our mastermind this morning, we looked at quite a few stocks, but especially with tomorrow's big CPI report coming out, we decided not to enter any positions. We got out of our AXP position yesterday with a profit, 90% of max profits. And it popped up today, I believe. Yeah, there it is. So we traded it before. Should we trade it again, Mark?
I definitely am open to it if the right strike pops up. Question number two, is it a price I want to own shares at? And right now the answer is no.
Right, because AXP is a company that, yes, we don't mind owning, but not at $142. And when we traded it last week, we were able to sell the 134 put, which is right here at this support line. And the blue line, the support line that we have here in PowerX Optimizer, basically shows you what was the lowest closing price over the last 8 weeks. And as we see, this last closing price over the last 8 weeks often acts as support. I mean, not always support can be broken, Mark, but we like this.
Yep. So being a buyer down there, at least based on what we see now, would be something that I would consider. Right now, the strike's too high.
Yeah. A few others that popped up. I mean, Signet, I think this is a very interesting one. Both you and I said, we're staying away from this, but the chart looks good. It is just going sideways, has held up pretty well in 2020 in this bear market that we have, and has some solid support. It seems at around 52, but we are still staying away from this.
Yeah, and this is where there can be at times a little conflict between trade what you see, not what you think. Right. And although I do like to trade what I see, not what I think, because I believe that's where as a trader we can make better trading decisions. However, first question in the wheel club is, do we want to own the stock? And here, fundamentally, it might make sense. But in a high interest rate environment where you're financing jewelry at 30%, this just sounds like a disaster. So it might end up being a great one, but I'd hate myself for owning shares of SIG if this falls 50%, knowing, you know, what I know about interest rates. And if I'm wrong, fine. There's plenty of other opportunities out there.
Right. Again, you have to be comfortable owning the stock. And if you look at this, so we had the 2020 pandemic drop and then a very clear pandemic winner. I mean, this stock moved from $6 to $110. Yeah. So knowing that before the pandemic, it was trading at around $25 to $30, and right now it is trading twice as high. Why? Right? I mean, during the pandemic, yes, people had more money. I understand this, right? We could stay at home, not do anything. So why not invest in jewelry or watches or whatever it might be? But right now, I don't know if a twice as high a price is warranted for this stock.
Yeah, it's kind of like the home builders, Marcus, DHI. Like the chart just looks solid, but do I really want to own home builders going into a tough real estate environment with higher rates? No. And if I'm wrong and this thing holds up, I'm fine with that. I just think there are better opportunities out there.
Yeah, I also want to show an analysis that we did this morning with Autodesk, because just looking at the chart, Autodesk looks pretty decent, right? I mean, it has been trading in 2020 before the pandemic at around 210. During the pandemic, it ran up, it came back down, and is trading right now slightly below it was before the pandemic drop. And at first glance, if you just look at the chart, that might actually be a good opportunity.
But
that's why we like to dig deeper. And this is why we like to take a look at the fundamentals and see how they're doing. And this is where we see, first of all, they have a P ratio of 77. That's actually pretty high. When recently we compared stocks that we own, they're much closer and with a P ratio of 15 to 25. So that's pretty high. Also, if you look at the quarterly results, they look good. But then we switch over to the annual results and we see, in 2018, they were still operating at a loss. In 2019, still operating at a loss. They were growing, made some profits, but right now we see that the profits are actually shrinking with growing revenue. So is this a company that you want to have in your portfolio? Or could it be that now, after the 2020 boost, the pandemic boost, we're going back to where they were right before of posting losses?
And that's the thing. Even if you look at this and go, okay, there are lots of stocks out there, and tomorrow we have big data coming out. So that makes it an easy no, even if as a trader you're looking at this and you're kind of on the fence. I just think there's better opportunities though.
Yeah, and I mean, this is what we discussed with our mastermind group on Monday morning when we did our strategy call, where we said, okay, this week, unless we see something amazing to sell puts on, we'll wait until tomorrow, because tomorrow is definitely the big day. So tomorrow, as you said, Mark, could be shopping day.
We shall see.
We shall see. Okay. Hey, by the way, we have a video where we explain more how we use or how we pick these stocks, the exact criteria. So I'll link to it right now. Take a look at this. Gives you a little bit better idea of what we are looking for on how to decide which stocks to trade with the wheel strategy. Check it out, and then we'll see you tomorrow.
Happy trading, everybody.